Levels Podcast. I'm Justin Hoddle, joined as always by the Triple OG, Widemu Mason. Mace, straight off the bat, you know, we've been saying now for weeks, subscribers, 14.1K on YouTube, chasing that 20K. But look, I want to just go on YouTube right now. I'm going to flick over, get out of the notes. I'm looking at, you know, these are the sort of people that I want to try to target, or, you know, this is the standard.
Yeah.
Robbo Vlogs in the background. Yeah, Mitch Robinson's in the house. Former Brisbane Lions and Carlton player.
Legend.
We're really keen to link up with him and do some stuff in the future. He's killing it. If you're a rugby league fan, you're not as familiar with Robbo, make sure you go and check it out. It's called Robbo Vlogs on YouTube. He's just gone and done the biggest Div 12 Rezzy's game in history. It's a proper giggle. He coached the team. It's all your knockabouts. It's all your larrikins.
We should do that.
It's could very working class. I'm straight away thinking, Mace, what's a team that we could go and coach?
Bankstown or somewhere. Yeah.
Barella Bears?
Toronto Scorpions?
Yeah, Toronto Scorpions. Yeah. We've got to go do something with the Toronto Scorpions for sure. But as always, before we get into the show, Mace, seriously, go on, like, subscribe, Apple, Spotify, reviewers, 5 stars, it all helps. We're continuing to grow. And again, big thank you to Robbo. We caught up. We had a good chat before. We had a couple of sneaky little schooners talking about content ideas, talking about potential shows down the road. So really excited to be linking up with him in the future. Levelsnetwork.com.au, Mace. Register your email for updates. We will give you early access to the subscriber list to be sure. So be sure to subscribe. Collection one will be dropping in about 6 to 7 weeks. We've got the Levels Network hat.
I'm still waiting for my hat, Lukey.
Yeah, Mace is still waiting on his hat, Lukey. We've got shirts and we've got some hoodies coming out. Yeah, so make sure you jump on levelsnetwork.com.au at Levels Network on Instagram. Go find us, like and subscribe, all the good stuff. Other than that, can I just quickly roll into a YouTube question straight off the bat? This is one we're going to save, but this is around coaching, so I'll get into it. Hey, boys, day one listener. Here, I've got a question for the Triple OG. What would be your advice for someone looking for a career in coaching doing a similar type of role that you do? For context, I played in Sydney for a few years in juniors and moved back to far western New South Wales after I finished. I'm 26 and done some coaching around here, but can't help to think the first step is to move back to the big smoke to try and earn a gig somewhere. Keep up the good work, lads. I'm a big fan. And he's, you know what his name is? Dev Doug.
First of all, it's good that a young kid like that is wants to get into NRL sort of coaching. And you don't have to be an ex-player or anything like that. If you have a look at the coaches going around now, Webster, I think he's been in the game for a little bit.
Yep.
I think Ben Gardner, all these blokes that are sort of – they're in around like assistant coaching or coaching NRL teams, or they're right in the middle of it. What their best bet is, because if you're not an ex-player – and you don't have runs on the board, it's hard to get respect from anybody who's played the game.
Mm.
Current players are playing the game, right? So if you don't come in there with a fucking resume that's pretty flashy, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's like hard, that's pretty honest, like it's pretty blunt, but that's just the way it is. I know me being a former player and me being a current player, if I was a current player, if someone come in there that had absolutely no experience playing the sport that I'm playing, you get no respect.
What, those guys to a certain
their,
level?
Yeah. No, those guys earned their respect, the Benny Gardens and that. They started at nothing and they had to go through the grades. You don't just roll in there and become an NRL on the NRL staff.
Yep. So unless Harold Mads, SG4? Yes,
unless you have a name, right? And you've done the work.
Yeah.
Like myself and like other guys, like Sam Burgess, you sort of get that leeway into coaching because of what you've done in the game, all that kind of stuff. But if you haven't, you start at the bottom.
Got to grind.
You got to fucking grind. And those blokes grinded the fuck out of it from all the way from Harold Matz, SG Ball, Jersey Flegg Reserve Grade. And then, you know, these guys are in their 30s and 40s now. So then they've got the NRL gig.
Would you suggest that he
get involved in a system?
In far western New South Wales, would you suggest that do a fucking good solid year or two?
Get all your, in tick country all, footy? Tick all your boxes with the coaching things, all the certificates, tick them all, get them all before you even come down.
Yep.
And then go into a club and just do your best, because we're always looking for new coaches, right?
Of course.
And we want, you know, a lot of like guys who, just because you weren't an unbelievable player doesn't mean you're not a fucking great coach.
There's a lot of coaches that are in coaching, especially juniors when you're coming through, that purely are in there. If you're a good enough coach and you can develop a name, because there's a lot of bad coaches out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of awful coaches.
Especially like when you're coming through the juniors, you get a lot of bad ones, but a lot of them are, it's like a boys club or it's the same sort of thing where it's like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So they might have been involved with it for a while. So if you grind and go the right way, Benny Gardner was my under 20s. In 2005, 2006, my under-20s head conditioner at the Roosters. He is now the assistant coach at Penrith.
Yeah, it can happen, but they you really need to grind. And as I said, like, it is a bit of a boys' club, and they're always the head coach is always going to bring along their mate, all that kind of stuff. It happens.
Yep.
And I'd do the same if I was a head coach.
100%.
I'm not going to get a stranger or a bloke I don't trust. You're getting people that you trust. You build the team around the coach, right?
Yeah.
And that's what helps. So if you're coming through the grades, you want to get into coaching, you probably start around about SG Ball under 18s. Just keep doing all your tickets. Understand the game more than anything and understand what happens through the whole thing. But – you just
watch, so you suggest that as watch well? Watch football, every single
but have
game.
A fucking different perspective on the game, right? Yeah. It's quite boring. The coaches are pretty bland. They just follow the fucking the yellow brick road, so to speak.
Yep.
And everyone just doesn't really want to rock the boat. But if you've got some good coaching drills and all that kind of stuff and a different fucking I don't know what to say, like just a different look at the game, coaches are willing to have a look at that, other coaches.
You know what I'd suggest as well? So something that I do obviously with footy to make sure I'm prepared for the show, it'd be the same as preparing for a game. Every time I watch a game of footy, Mace sees it, Lukey sees it. I get my notepad out. I'm hitting Miller notes. I'm you know, dropping stuff down in the games.
Yeah.
If you're a young coach, I'd be watching every single game of NRL, figuring what the good teams are doing, what the bad teams are doing, and I'd be taking notes all the time. And you put it in a little section where you can go back looking at, you know, the game develops, the game changes, but you start thinking about, oh, I like that play. Why did that work?
Yeah,
you know,
be a student of the game. That's what I'm saying. Be a student 100%. Of the game because guys like, just say myself, Sam Burgess, Robbie Farah, Benji Marshalls, because we played the game, we see it quite different, right? Yep. And you get a different perspective on the game. But if you're a coach who hasn't played the game at the highest level, you need to come with a totally different perspective, right?
Yeah.
To get anyone's attention. Yeah, you've got to be detailed as hell because I can't just tell you, if I'm going to tell a young kid how to do this and this, they trust me. Hey, trust me because I've done it before, right? But if you haven't got the runs on the board, so to speak, they'll walk straight past you. Yep. You've got to give detail. You've got to be really – and you've got to know what you're talking about, man.
You know what you need, especially in coaching? You need a couple of dogs. And you know who provide the best proper dogs? Body Signs. And they've got the cookies and cream, low-carb mousse bars, a bar that defies expectations, with every bite delivering layers of award-winning multi-protein, delightful crumbly texture and a mousse filling. Body Science low carb high protein mousse bars are every protein bar's lover's dream. BSC mousse bars, these bad boys right here, Maze. Want to get them up?
Cookies and cream.
Yeah, we got the what do we got there? Yeah, the cookies and cream. BSC mousse bars are currently available.
Model. What a model.
In Woolworths Chemist Warehouse, online at bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. So let's get into another question. Got this just off the back of that really nice message and it really got me thinking actually. That question with regards to the players being able to go around and interact more
with
times.
And
you know, when you think of this narrative in particular with what the media is trying to build as well, right? They're always like, think about the fans.
Don't worry, they hate the fans. What about the fans?
Think about the fans, right? Well, if you really want to think about the fans and you're the, you know, Fox Sports or the Channel 9s.
The big dogs.
There's some good people right in there, and don't get me wrong. But if you really want to think about the fans, then this access and interaction that the fans are getting with the players right now, that 30, 40 minutes with stars like Kalen Ponga, Cam Munster, Nathan Cleary, that they would have not got because those guys would be interviewing for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Why don't you delay when this is all over, if you're thinking about the fans, because there are kids, parents paying their hard earned to turn up to games. If you think about the fans, you should be letting the players go on and do those fan commitments first around the stadium and then grab the players for interviews after. If you are indeed thinking of the fans.
Though they don't, obviously.
It's
just a fucking good thing to say from Paul Crawley.
Exactly right. So if you're the Crawleys or the Riccios and generally you get interviews at the stadium, why don't you forego that?
Yeah, I'll get you
now,
after.
Now, as soon as this CBA is done, because you're thinking of the fans – let them interact, go around the field.
Take it 40 minutes an hour.
Let them You just got to chill. You got to wait. You're thinking of the fans.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You wait in the tunnel. They come back in. You have your interviews. Yeah. And look, I've done it as well. I've done SEN. I've caught a game, gone down and had a chat to the players. I'd be happy to do it. I'd be happy to let the players go around because I think that's what we're trying to establish here.
It's all the fans, man. It's all about the fans.
So here's another great example of that. Josh Adokar signed his jersey and gave it to my 9-year-old son after the game.
In Bundy
versus the Dolphins. Absolute gentleman legend. And that's a massive
one. That's unbelievable.
Too. That's in Bundy.
Playing jersey, right?
Playing jersey.
I love Fox like that. He does so much for the young
Otto
kids, man.
Neil. Shout out to Otto Neil for the message. I thought I'd just highlight that. Another great example of players thinking of the fans.
Yeah. Mate, Fox is always like that. He's always he's ahead of the curve. He knows he's got a massive fan base and these young kids. Like 9-year-old kid. How impressionable is a 9-year-old kid?
How good's that?
Loves Fox. Everyone loves Fox. And he gives him his playing jersey.
Bundaberg too. Queenslander.
It's unbelievable.
Queenslander.
It is, yeah.
How many crazy opportunities will a guy from Bundaberg get to meet Josh Adokar? You know,
and he's always the last one in. He's always one of the last ones in because he's so popular, especially with the Bulldogs fans. And everywhere around in Australia, he's just massively popular. But to give the jersey, you're not even supposed to give your jerseys away.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they get in trouble for that? We never used to be able
but
to do that.
But that's how much of a legend Fox is.
Yeah.
Like he gives his jersey. You're not allowed to give your jersey.
I don't want to.
He's playing jersey, man.
I don't want to put words on. Not what's the word? What's the I don't want to say something that might not be true, but I'm pretty sure we get a limited amount of jerseys.
Yeah, you're
still
not allowed.
I reckon he'd have to pay for that.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. If it's Fox, I think if you're wearing 21, 22 or something like that, maybe you'll have to pay. But if you're Fox and you're bringing a lot of bums on seats, mate, I think you can get away with that.
I was trying to look after him for the
fans. Yeah, no. But they've got a heap of jerseys. Come on, man.
Yeah.
There's about like 6 playing jerseys that they play with. They've all got triples on them. So it's like you're only playing 22 games.
You get like 3 home, 3 away games. Generally. You've probably got way more now. We've
got Indigenous round. You've got like women in league round. You've got all these things.
We always got to keep them.
Yeah.
They were always good, but like that was his
one-offs. This is the ones. This is the
home and away
home
jersey.
Game. He gives the home jersey away. Even better.
Uncle Gus is 6 again. We'll get to Uncle Gus later on. He's got plenty to talk about coming up. Hey, boys, besides the coaches and players who have the toughest job in the game, I personally think it's the social media team in charge of the team coming last. Post and ghost after full times, always cheers. May, so off the back of that question, one, do you agree? Have you had media managers or the social media team in years past? Like imagine back in the day. They're probably better now because there's more acceptance with them in the game. But I remember like the media manager – we had 3 different media managers in 3 years, and I reckon we had the turnover because it was lower straw.
Well, I understand this. So I debuted in 2000, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, no social media, and I retired in 2016. So I went through the whole evolution of the smartphones and everything like that. The media, all the media managers were under the pump because it was all just managing. Like obviously, we went through some shit there at the Bulldogs in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
like,
of course,
there was like crazy shit going on. So Polly McArdle was the media manager then. And mate, I've never seen a woman go grey so quick. and she looked after you. She did her best. Like, cause we had like a rock star team and we were going through some shit. There was like helicopters flying over Belmore. There's people like trying to, because you could lock Belmore down, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you can
there's
get
only
through,
one way in,
yeah,
one way out.
You can lock it down. So we locked it down several times and there'll be people trying to sneak their cameras in and like the media manager trying to cover all that sort of stuff. So they were earning their money back then.
Yeah.
Obviously heading in towards the social media sort of stuff to 2008, 9, 10. I think when was it like Facebook and like all that sort of shit? About 2008, 9, 10. And that was when I was at the Roosters and stuff, and there was some stuff going on. There was always stuff going on wherever I played. It was always a popular team or, you know, one of the best teams, and it was always shit happening. And then fast forward, I come to Newcastle. This is the Instagram, so it's in 12, 13, 14. This is when the social media really hit but wasn't really accepted within the club. So you have your media manager and then you have your social media people.
Yes.
Totally different people.
They don't hang. We didn't have social media people back in the day. So we only had media.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the but difference, yeah. So they've got the social media people who just run all the vlogs and all that kind of shit, whatever. And then you've got the media manager. And that, so they got to work together, right? Because social media is the main one.
They've got big teams now.
The media,
if you don't have
the
good
media
social
manager,
media team,
all you're doing is dragging people out. You got to talk to fucking Channel 7 or whatever it is. The other social media, like full-time filming every single session, making it look cool. You know what I mean? Like Lukey. And they do the best job. The media manager's like, fucking no disrespect, but it's not that hard. All you got to do is handle people. Learn how to speak to the athletes properly. You know what I mean? Like, just don't, like, most of them are the most liked people in the game, media managers, because they've got to get you on camera.
Wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, you got to wheel in. Oh, well, it was always hard to get. You know what I mean? I'm not doing that shit. Yeah. Oh, mate, can you please? And if they smile and they're really polite, if they come at you with the wrong energy, not a fucking chance.
You can see them coming from a mile away. You go,
yeah. It's pretty shitty because like you feel bad. It's like, well, you're looking after me. It's like, who are you working for? Are you working for the club or are you working for the fucking media?
Yeah.
And most of them are media trained. They're from that sort of that background. Yeah, so I'm like, there's something missing here.
Got to do it right.
Where social media is always about the club.
Yeah.
Where the media manager is going, oh, I don't know what your agenda is here.
Is there anyone else? So I've got an example. I'll give you an example. Because is the toughest job outside of coaches and players. I tell you who's got one of the toughest jobs in the game, and I think it's all sports, physios, man.
Yeah.
The main physio, physio, if you're a fucking proper good physio, shout out to Vicky Locke who had us at Parramatta. She was one of the hardest working people in the entire club. You need
like fucking
club.
Three or four now.
Mate, this is back in the time we had two main ones for first grade and then you've got a younger one that would come in and do the afternoon for the under 20s and Reggies. But a proper good physio, and I've had some real bad ones, so Vicky was the standard for me. She would be in at 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning and not leave till 6 p.m. at night.
Wow, that's hard work. I wish Albert Alonso was like that.
Who was it? Did you have a real
Albert Alonso
physio?
Was good, yeah. He was at the Dogs. Yeah. I was always good friends with the physio. Everyone in the club. But the physios are under the pump the most.
Oh,
media manager, who cares? Yeah. What you're trying to do is get people to talk.
Yeah. You can imagine.
It's either yes or no. Or if you're not talking, someone else is in the thing.
Yeah.
And now they can identify whatever players they want. You have to speak. Now, back in the day, it's like, I don't want to speak. Now it's like, you have to.
Well, the hardest thing you've got to do is get someone to speak. Physios, you've got to fucking make sure, yeah, sure this guy can play.
But they feel the extra pressure from the coach going, is he right next week? Is he going to be
How's
he looking? You can feel that sort of pressure. And I can see it more now, like with players that are like, they'll just say kicks.
Yeah.
I said, don't worry about the pressure from like, you know, your players and that. You feel it externally.
Yeah.
You know, the CEO, like, you know, like the people that just around the club. The coach won't really say anything. Yeah. The coach is fully invested in the 13 or 17 that's playing that week.
That's true.
So they're always like that. And if they usually don't talk to the guys that are injured for like, you know, 3 or 4 months. They just let it sort of happen. But then the physio starts getting questions from the chairman, from the CEO, board members and shit after the games, especially when you're under the pump.
Yep.
So, hey, when's Kicks back? Or when's Fox back? And this and that. And that's when you know you're under the pump. But they always got the best physio's always got the players' well-being at hand.
Yeah.
They don't want to push you back 2 or 3 weeks early because it's like if I push you back quick from a grade one calf, right, with Latrell, right?
Grade two, grade three.
Grade one, and then it turns into 10 weeks because you didn't take your time because you want the big dog out, you want the big dog out there.
Yeah.
You got to think long term.
But I'm not even when I was referring to the physios as well, it was more about like you got to remember – we start training at 8:30 generally.
Mm.
So she's got to get in there at 5:30. You got to do treatment on the players that are going to be part of those sessions, which is generally like 4 or 5 guys that are training busted. Then she gets in the guys that are actually injured. And then you'll get in a guy that needs to get a rub in between weights or another wrestling session.
Non-stop.
Until by the end of the day where she's going in and watching the training sessions in particular, that's how Vicky was. So
that's what they mostly are still. Like Adrian at the Bulldogs, he's under the pump non-stop.
Yeah.
And he's got an under-20s one, reserve grade one there. But everyone wants to see the main guy, right?
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like when you're a part of the, you know, the top squad and everything, you want to see the top physio. So it starts playing with your head. You're not going to see a guy who's not, you know, hasn't done his hard yards, even though he probably could be as good.
Yeah.
Because they've got everyone in there pretty equal, right?
Yeah.
But it's the trust thing.
But it's not the trust. Yeah.
It's a trust thing, right? You got to earn the trust of a physio. And they are everywhere, man. Like non-stop, as you said, like they're in their first ones, they're the last ones to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much they're getting paid, but it's not enough.
Yeah, some of them, if you got a good one, I'd be paying them. It'd be one part. If I was to ever take over coaching, I reckon, and you do it full time, one thing I'd invest in is the best possible physio and the best possible recruitment manager.
Yeah.
That's the way I'd attack. Those would be the first. I wouldn't even care about assistant coaches and shit. I'd build that later. I'd go out and want to find, give me a list. The three best physios and the three best recruitment guys in the game for the last 10 years, and I want to get one of each.
You get them before coaches?
100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll get the coaches first.
Yeah. And then I'd sort my gang after that, because if you're going to be coaching at NRL level, then you'd like to think that you've got a fair idea, and then you build out and go around there. I reckon there's
– You'd be surprised.
I reckon there's heaps more assistant coaches that are quality enough that you can get on board, ex-players, guys that you've – that'd be easy to find, trying to find good physios. How many shit physios you had?
Yeah. Only Tony Ayoub. He's the worst physio in the game. Shout out to Tony. I love you, mate. Tony. Got me back a lot of times.
Yeah. Good question. That was Nick Inzatari 7268. Next one is, oi lads, love the show, but the fact your dog of the week wasn't Cam the Mongrel McInnes was the new record of 81 tackles in a game is a travesty. There needs to be an investigation. Love your bowlers. Sam Carriage 8327. I reckon there were, Mace, 8 or 9 of these.
Really? Well, they lost, first of all.
28-0.
Yeah, like you got to win. I don't really give dogs of the week.
You don't have to necessarily win, but you can't lose 28-0. And I love Cam McInnes.
I reckon he's a machine, but like most people on that list, they're not the hardest hitters. You don't make 80 tackles. I think Cam McInnes is probably the hardest hitter on that list, because I reckon he hits blokes.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so like 81 to him. I respectfully give that to him. He's a machine.
On what list?
On the all-time tackling list.
Oh, okay. Who was second and third? And did you know?
Probably Heine, Michael Luck. I played against all those guys. but like Cam McInnes would pump you.
Yeah.
He hits harder than anyone on that list. So he tries. And the thing is, if he had a one, easy. He's a dog of the week. He's pretty much the top three dog every week.
Yeah, he pretty much. He's the epitome of a dog.
But he's the one who really got me. I was just like, most of those guys on that list are spot players.
If we would,
and then I look at that and I went, Cam McInnes is the only dude who'll fucking hit you.
He does hit well. If you put a picture of a dog, like if we had his our dog of the week dog. And we chucked it on the body science, like slapped it down the KFC, it'd probably be Cam McInnes' head.
But he's there all the time. Got nothing but respect for Cam McInnes. He's a proper dog. But yeah, beat 28-0. Come on.
Come on. Enough's enough. Shout out to Cam McInnes.
Yeah,
love
he's
you.
Fucking.
Love you, Cam. All right. This one is more to do around – what's this? Oh, yeah, here we go. Hey, dogs. Was enjoying a few ice-cold Rodgy Shuafaster Shecks over the weekend watching all the sport and couldn't help but think of who is the all-time dog of all sports past or present. Top three that come to mind are Kobe, dog, John Daly, Cherry Evans.
Cherry Evans.
That's John Daly.
Oh, yeah.
John Daly's a dog, and Serena Williams is indeed a dog. Who would your boys' top three dog athletes be? Keep up the good shit, Wilso dog. Jeez,
that's hard.
Because
how do you say it? Like dog, like just like absolute, like just good at it, or just like go after it?
Go after it. So I wouldn't call
Jordan him. Is like, he's the number one dog.
Yeah, Jordan's a dog. And this is what I'll say respectfully to the people that love King James. King James ain't a dog. He ain't got that dog in him.
No, he doesn't go up like that. Kobe doesn't go after like that.
Kobe had dog in him. Like Shaq don't have, and Shaq didn't have dog in him
because he didn't train hard.
Yeah, so you got to have like, who else is a dog?
I'm trying to think about sports. Like soccer's not the most aggressive thing. You can't really go after it in that. Like basketball, you can really show your emotions, right?
If you're thinking of dogs, like
a gridiron, like NFL, who would go after it then? Like a running back as a quarterback? Quarterback's not the most aggressive. Defensive ends like Ray Lewis.
Sergio Ramos is a dog. Soccer. Defender.
Most defenders are.
Defenders are dogs.
Mm.
Zinedine Zidane's a dog. Fucking bang. Headbutt. Mm.
But it's still.
John Daly's a good one. John Daly's a dog.
Yeah. Man of. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an NFL player. Like they're mostly defensive players, right? Yeah. Like Ray Lewis is a dog.
Yeah, Ray Lewis is a dog.
Yeah.
A lot of middle linebackers would be dogs.
Yeah, Aaron Donald, all those blokes, man.
Yeah, we'll have to have a think of that. We'll come back. I'll put together a little bit of a list for Mace next week.
We'll come back to that. Because if we're going to go all sports and three dogs, come on, man. That's not a fucking YouTube question. That's a topic.
Yeah. All right, I got
Wilso dog.
Wilso dog. Let me go back here. I'm going to get the ladder up as well because I want to go through this last one.
Yeah.
Question for the lads. All 17 NRL coaches, WWE style, Hell in a Cell. Who are the final two and why? So we'll go through.
Well, Wayne's out.
So Wayne's
out. Throw him straight out.
You got Cleary.
Yeah, maybe. I think Ciro's young.
Kevin's
man.
Out.
Ciro's young.
Webster's out.
I'm back in Ciro.
What about Fitzy?
Fitzy and Ciro in the cage
Bellamy,
last.
Sticky.
Stick will just ankle bite, I reckon.
Yeah. Demetrio.
Nah, he'd be fucking ragdolling.
Cowboys. Rocket Rod.
What about, can you get the assistant coaches with you?
Rocket Rod. Yeah, you'd win it if you're in. Rocket Rod Payton.
Oh, big Rod. He'll be going all right, yeah, I reckon. It'd be hard to move.
Knights, O'Brien, nut. Seagulls, Siebes, nut. Siebes, nut. Brad Arthur.
Nah. Oh, maybe.
Brad Arthur, would, he's got dog in him, man. BA's yeah? a dog. BA's a fucking dog. Titans. Who's Titans now? Oh, the new guy. Dolphins, Wayne, nut. Nah, Robbo, too.
Fucking. Would you go after Wayne first?
Yeah, fuck. Like if it was a Royal Rumble. <kill. laughs> Just so you get one. If it's a Royal Rumble, you throw Wayne over straight away.
They might protect him, but.
Who's the Dragons at the moment? Carr, nah, West Tigers, Sheensy or Benj? Either Sheensy. Or. So I reckon it's between Sereldo.
Yeah.
Fitzy.
Fitzy be hard. He does Fitzy does jiu-jitsu, man.
Fitzy's winning it.
Yeah, I think Fitzy. I'm sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, Fitzy's winning it.
Mm.
Royal Rumble for sure because he's got the grouse wrestle, proper dog. And you remember back in the day, he was like the Roosters teams when they used to shoot out of the line.
Fitzy's a gun, man. I know Fitzy's. I know his technique. He's good.
Yeah, yeah. Fitzy wins that for sure. And a close one, maybe.
Ciro, be in there with Ciro. The two tall bodies, man.
Yep.
And Big Rod and maybe Cleary will get thrown out fourth.
All right. Your guy, Uncle Gus.
Yes.
He's been into the Tari Ferrari. South Sydney have fired back at Bulldogs general manager of football Phil Gould, who suggested fullback Latrell Mitchell has yet to deliver in the big moments. Gould made these comments on Channel 9's 100% Footy on Monday night, stating, put him on the big stage in front of 50,000 in a prelim and he hasn't done it yet. That's where he has to do it. He still hasn't done that part and he's got to do it. Rabbitoh CEO Blake Solly slammed Gould's comments, labelling the Bulldogs Supremo's criticism of other clubs as tiresome. What's Uncle Gus getting at? Like, I was trying to put this together in my head. So do you agree with Gus that Trell hasn't done it?
I can see he's got a point. Like, Gus doesn't say anything for nothing.
Do you reckon it's more that he hasn't got it done at the Roosters, the Rabbitohs?
Yeah, it's not the Roosters because he's
Roosters, he's won two comps.
Yeah.
State of Origin, he was, if not the best player.
I think he's talking about the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Where Latrell's been. Has Latrell been there for 3 years? Is this his third year?
No, it's like four.
Is this, yeah, so 3 years prior to that.
Yes,
right?
yes.
So 20, 21, 22.
Yep.
And they've been to prelims every single game. Every single year they've been to a prelim every year and a grand final.
The one.
No, he didn't play in that.
He didn't play in the grand final because he got suspended for the Joey Manu.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah. So 2021 he missed out.
So do you reckon he just hasn't clarified that Latrell hasn't got it done at South Sydney at this level yet? Because he clearly has, because he was close to Wally Lewis medal for Origin 2 years ago.
Yeah, he needs to clarify he hasn't done it for South Sydney because he's done it for the Roosters and he's done it for New South Wales.
Yep.
He just hasn't done it. In the last two times he's only been the two prelims for South, hasn't he?
He's been, because he didn't play in the grand final. So,
yeah
they'll
like
win 20, the prelim.
22.
Yeah. Played in
and
the,
he missed 21.
They lost in the prelim last year.
Yeah.
And then the year before
that. I'm not sure why Gus is saying it. But
Was it just
is this out of context or something like that? Or
just ask him
a question, what do you think about Latrell? He just come out with this.
He's pretty, as you know. You
I'm
know,
not saying anything against what, Gus, like, you, but yeah, I mean he's.
Look, I'm happy to do it as well because if we're gonna critique anyone, we know how much we love Uncle Gus. Yeah. I respect the shit out of him. I don't even know him like that. But I was trying to figure out in my head, like, what's the angle for Gus?
Yeah, I don't know
like,
the angle.
What's the point of bringing – maybe he's just speaking freely. Maybe this is how he feels. Like, maybe it might – so, like, if you're trying to piece it together, maybe he's saying Latrell was the center at the time for the Roosters, right? Like, he didn't have as big an impact. He's yet to star for his own team in that, obviously, number one position in fullback and dominate.
Maybe he's trying to motivate him. Because it fucking motivates – if it motivated – that would motivate the hell out of me because he didn't really have a – like, I mean –
do you think,
just depends how you perceive this, right?
Do you think Gus would like to see Penrith lose, not go three in a row?
100%.
So do you think the part of this would be like getting fucking pissing Latrell off?
Maybe. That's the way Gus – I'm thinking why else would Gus say that shit?
Hat on.
Yeah. He doesn't like Penrith. He hates Penrith that much. He needs Latrell to really step his game up because he's the only one who could damage Penrith.
Well, he's come out and said no one will beat Penrith.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's just trying to plant these little seeds and trying to because Bulldogs, it doesn't matter, right? Bulldogs, you're not going to make the finals. No. You're not even close to it. So it's not going to affect anything that's going to happen at the Bulldogs this year. Plus, you're not talking about the Bulldogs.
No.
And if he keeps saying that, he's feeding bulletin board material to all the other teams by continually saying, Penrith are too good, you're not going to beat them.
I just want to know what his agenda, like, is there an agenda?
Well, that's
here?
What I'm trying to.
He's trying to have a crack at Latrell. Yeah, I know, but like, hey, Gus can say what he wants. He's got, he has all the, like, he's one of those dudes who, when he says stuff, people fucking listen.
Yeah.
And they, or it's like this, like, people just stop and go, what was he talking about there? He's talking about Latrell? And it's a whole topic, you know what I mean? Otherwise, he wouldn't be talking. If it was anyone else, no one give a fuck. Latrell would be like, shut up. South, but South, no, they have to come to his rescue as well and say, look, shut up, Gus, pretty
he's
much.
He's only played one game back from injury as well.
He's had one game and he's straight at him.
He's copping strays. God. How good. I love it. All right, topic two, Dearden or Luai? As Tom Dearden weighs up a three-year contract extension tabled by the Cowboys, the lack of quality playmakers on the market could see the 22-year-old command $1 million or more per season from rival clubs. Out of the two biggest names in the halves on the market, who would you rather? And, really important, what's your price, Mace? I'm talking of Luai and Dearden. So for people that aren't aware, Jerome Luai is also going through negotiating process with Penrith. Tommy Dearden is now going through it with the Cowboys. They are both they will both become free agents as of November 1 for 2025. Let's clarify that. If they do hit the market, Mace, both of them, by the way, are sixes at their club. But here's the first question. Could you see both of these two guys running a football club, running a football team.
Easy.
In the seven. Either wearing the six jersey and still playing the same way they are or becoming a seven. Both of them?
I think both. I reckon they could do both. And it'd be asking prices would be $1 million to even sit at the table, both
minimum
of these guys.
To even
sit on a deal.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what do you got? You know, just say if I think Penrith would be somewhere around there, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So you don't come with more than a mil for that guy.
I think Penrith are pretty limited. I think Penrith
maybe it's 700.
I think they're both around 750, 800, and that's not going to be enough.
No.
So Jerome Luai, 26 years old. Tommy Dearden, 22 years old.
22, Tommy Dearden.
Tommy Dearden.
Oh, wow.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to go. I like Luai the way he plays, man.
Yeah.
I still think he hasn't really like touched where he can be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he's just been sitting in one of the best systems in the game. He's playing with the best halfback in the game. He's had the best back rower in the game, best centre, best wingers. You know, he's had a pretty good pick of what he's had. Like, I think he'd probably want to go out and do it himself. I don't think he's really been tested that much. And when he does, you give him the fucking keys to the car. Keys to the car.
Yeah, you copy me.
To the city. You give him the keys to the fucking Ferrari. Like, he kills it. Look at Samoa. He got into a World Cup final.
Mm.
Like, whenever Cleary's been out, he's been one of their best players. So he's got all that shit. I think he wants to do it. He just has to be fucking dragged out because he's from the area. He's one of the boys there. He's embedded in that fucking that whole team and the community and everything out there. It's going to take a lot of money to get that kid out of there.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, 25 be 26.
You said 4. One,
fuck.
If you're the Bulldogs.
I want him on a four-year deal. If I was any team, a four-year deal would be 1.1, 2, 3, 4. Because I reckon he's nowhere near. I don't think he's hit his prime yet.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
He's 25, 26 years old.
That could end up being a bargain by the time the cap goes up in a couple of years.
And I think Dearden is outstanding. He's underrated. When he comes off those little crossballs, hits the other side of the right, how hard he is to tackle. He must be so well balanced.
Yeah.
His hips are good. He's got a good kicking game. Like, his hips are so strong. The amount of tackle busts he has.
Ducks under.
He's fucking strong. Very underrated.
Yeah, my one's Dearden. I'm going Dearden for a couple of reasons. 22, massive.
I didn't know he was that young.
The fact that he's
he's going to look 22. So old when he's 30.
So the difference between him and Jerome is Jerome's got the runs on the board with regards to premierships, but I'm still going to go a guy like Dearden as well. See you, Robbo.
See you, Robbo.
See you, brother. Dearden, I obviously love the age. I can't get that Origin 3 out of my head as well. Like, he fucking took over from Munster and
he's
got
a
the
gun, man. He's a gun.
He's a gun. I was watching that Origin going, he ain't the guy I thought he was.
He ruined me, man. I thought he was so much shit for him.
I thought Dearden was nice. And there's a difference, right? There's a massive difference.
Massive.
I thought he was nice. And I'm like,
he's the shit.
He's him.
Yeah.
He's him. And there's a massive difference between, you know, I think a lot of people do that, like watch and go,
no bigger stage too. When he owned that Origin, I was up there and obviously like I was talking some shit and he ruined me.
Yeah.
Because I was sort of into I wasn't into him. I just thought, I thought he was nice. He's nice. Hey, he's all right.
Yeah.
He ain't fucking Origin 3 material, carved the shit out of us and send us all home like idiots.
Decider.
Yeah. Well, you proved me wrong, Tommy did, and you're a gun. And he's playing, he's playing at a fucking another level right now. What would he be worth on the open market? Are you talking, I don't know, because I reckon he coming into the system as a seven,
yep.
right? So he can play six, seven. I mean,
that's another matter. Good point. He that can, was actually another my
so can, and Luai can play, I reckon if you give Luai the seven, he plays seven.
Yeah, but I think you've seen more of an example of it with Tommy playing seven because Jerome's, and this is just, again, through playing with Nath his whole career, he's always been a six.
Yeah.
And there's a subtle difference, but not really for me anyway. That wouldn't factor in. But the fact that Dearden has indeed played there, it's just another little, not for me anyway, but it's another little tick that other people would, well, people running a franchise would go, all right, I've already seen him run a team. I've already seen him be a halfback. So,
He got moved there because they signed Townsend.
Yes.
And he's a good game manager.
Well, Chad's perfect for him. Too.
Yeah, and then this is going to cost the team.
Let us know in the comments, Tommy Dearden or Jerome Luai, who would you rather sign? 4-year deal, both at the same money. So you're getting them. I reckon you're going to have to go up. I reckon it's going to be after 1.25 each per season. So I reckon 5 mil over 4 years. That's your floor to get either of them. Who do you want?
I'm with you. More money.
More problems.
Give him more money.
All right, let's get into that NRL round 22 preview, eh?
Yeah, man.
Get the teams up. All right, these odds are accurate as of the 2nd of August at 5 p.m. from our friends, our partners at the Tab. Getting into the Sydney Roosters versus the Manly Seagulls at home. Oh, this game's at the SCG, actually.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
The odds are $1.62 favourites about the Sydney Roosters. Manly are $2.30. And the line is -3.5 at $1.85. With the Roosters, impressive youngster comes into his fourth game of the season and his first as starter. Oh, they didn't even have the name of it. They're talking about it. Here we go. Should Trent Robinson decide to keep Wong out of early exchanges, he may opt to start the game with Nathan Brown. That was a weird way to introduce it. Seagulls, prop Matt Lodge has been laid low by illness this week, but Coach Seibold thinks he's good to play. We've kept Lodgy away from training, all good. The return of Ben Trbojevic adds to Manly's depth on the bench, and Raymond Vega comes in on the wing for his fifth game of the season with Christian Tuipulotu expected to miss two games with that hip drop from
Vayanga, eh?
JDB,
yeah, right.
Jack DeBellin. Mace, Roosters versus Seagulls. Where are you going on this one?
I think last week, right, we were talking about the Roosters. Like, they've still got the quality players, but can they maintain it for, like, more than 40, 50 minutes? Like, I think they went at it with Brisbane last week, and they were going after, right? And Brisbane just didn't stop. They just kept turning away. And I think the week before, the Roosters went at it, and they got early points early, and then they just went on for a run. So I think it's going to be, like, you know, they'll probably try and come up mainly because I reckon they're in their, like, in their target. So I think Brisbane was a little bit out. Do you know what I mean? When you come to think of it. And then you got Manly, you're like, yeah, they're a decent team, but they're not sitting fucking first, are they?
Yep, good point.
So it's a bit of a mental game here. I think Roosters, they'll be going into this game thinking they're going to win. But I don't think they will because I think Manly's got more to play for.
I agree. I'm on
Manly. Last two games, man.
I've seen Manly have been way more consistent even in the losses that they've had. They haven't been blown out like the Roosters have. You think about that Manly had against North Queensland a couple of weeks ago where they really pushed North Queensland.
Yeah.
And then maybe there was effects of that game that led to North Queensland losing against the Titans as well. So I've seen more from Manly of late. So I'm on Manly and I like the $2.30
as well. You played at the cricket ground?
I did, yeah.
It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, sucks.
It's terrible.
Yeah. obviously, like, you understand the prestige of it, but it's so hard to play.
It's awesome to play there. I played the centenary test there in 2008. Yeah. And that was mad because 100 years of rugby league, we wore the jerseys and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, and Gaz threw that ball over his head and then GI scored.
Oh, GI. Yeah.
And that was mad. It was great. But it was like, What a terrible place to play.
But actually playing, the playing surface like and the dynamic of the field is awful.
It's like you can't see the crowd. Like you've got to walk about 300 metres to get on the field. I love the prestige of it all.
Yes.
That's about it. If you're playing cricket and AFL there,
best ever.
You can't play league there, man. It's like playing on the MCG.
We're both on Manly?
Oh, yeah, I'm with Manly.
All right, moving on to the Titans versus Warriors.
Sorry, Manly's still – they're not favourites, right? Roosters are favourites,
yeah.
Wow, disrespect.
The Gold Coast Titans versus the Warriors at Gold Coast are $3 underdogs, where the Warriors are $1.40 favourites due to their really good form. Mace, the line is +8.5. Scans have cleared AJ Brimson, so he's going to be good to go. Given the short turnaround from Sunday's game, he will be monitored though. Jaden Campbell is ready to go if need be on the bench. Aaron Schopp joins the back line in the absence of Jojo Fifita, who misses it with an ankle. With the Warriors, Jazz Tavanga has been listed as 18th man. So there we go. The big one we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. When does he come back in?
Yeah.
Murata Nikota is good to go after suffering a head knock against the Raiders, but they had the bye week, so he is all good. Titans versus Warriors. This feels like a tricky game, doesn't it?
The Titans are always up for any game. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. That's probably the hardest thing trying to coach these guys or even, like, backing them or anything like that. Because I was like,
that's why you
like last week. Yeah, exactly. Do my head in. It's just like they show so much promise. And then, like, obviously they got Tino out and all that kind of stuff. But they go up and they get the Cowboys easily. Like, the desperation, resilience and all that kind of stuff I said the other day. Like, where the fuck was that? Like, does this happen again? Or does it take too much of out of their tank last week? It's like,
let's see.
I think it does. I think it does because the Warriors are off the bye and they are fresh and they are on.
Warriors?
Warriors, man.
Warriors for me as well. Penrith versus Melbourne. This will be a cracker the second of Friday night. Just trying to look at Bluebet Stadium. The versatile Hoskins has been named to replace Peachy. Centres, but Isaac Tungo is closing in for a return and could get a late call-up, so he's in the extended squad. As for the Storm, Nelson Asofa-Solomona is returning, going straight back into the back row, with superstar fullback Ryan Pappenhausen returning for the Sunshine Coast Falcons on Saturday evening in Queensland Cup. So Pappy is getting very close. Mace?
Yeah, that's awesome for him, man. Just to get back, he's been out for a year.
Penrith are $1.34 favourites with our friends at the tab. Melbourne are $3.30 and the line is 9.5. I think the line's too big for sure.
Not sure what Peachy was thinking last week. Did you see that? When he came in, well, he got suspended, right?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Like, I thought he was trying to punch the ball. Like, he was trying to hit his head.
It was in broken play. He dove on the ball
and he just come from behind. I was like, wow, you're lucky he didn't get sent. Like, that's contact to the head late and cheap.
It was just before halftime, eh? Like,
there's no need for it.
Yeah.
Like, you're well on top. Unless it's a personal thing. I was just like, fuck, does he hate this dude or what? Because you wouldn't do that, man.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Was it
Cronulla,
late
dude?
It wasn't
It was late and a half. It was like it was a nothing play. And he's just
I'm trying to think.
Then he got sent 10. It was Jack Williams.
Jack Williams, that's who it was, yeah. Because I was thinking Teague Wilton, but Teague Wilton.
It's Jack Williams. Hit him. And lucky Jack didn't even flinch. If that was someone else, you could have knocked him out with that sort of force that he was coming. He hit Jack. Jack just went like that. What are you doing, mate? Anyway, he got 10, and he's probably going to, like, imagine the repercussions just to that one stupid play, right? He just say everyone's going to try and fill those spots, 1-17 for Penrith, where you got a chance to go fucking three-peat.
Yeah.
He's solidified himself in that team for the last 5 weeks. He's done all the hard work, and it's that one little play that could fuck his whole season up.
Miss out on grand final because you're not part of the rotation.
Miss out in the little late. He's going to miss out 3 or 4 games, right? You know, and then someone's going to take his place. If they win 3 or 4 in a row and they're killing it, which they probably, if you're a part of that Penrith gang, you want to be in it.
I'd love to be.
You know, like, and he's a young Penrith junior and all that kind of stuff. Like, fuck. That's what I was thinking. I was like, you're going to cost yourself a spot. Regardless, like, if you don't make the grand, like a really good run in. Silly. Penrith.
Yeah, I'm on Penrith.
You're on a run, man. It's at home as well.
I really want to pick me mate Munster, but. Especially with Isaac Tungo coming back as well. He was outstanding last time they played. 9.5 is more enticing. Are Penrith going to – this could be a statement just game. This could be
nine's nothing to Penrith.
I think Penrith could really
Penrith and
be
Brisbane.
Really excited to put a number on them.
Penrith and Brisbane are just going to go, a little bit of a flex this week, I reckon.
So speaking of flexes, Little brother versus big brother. Who's little brother these days, actually? With the North Queensland Cowboys versus the Brisbane Broncos up at Country Bank Stadium in North Queensland. North Queensland are $2.40 underdogs. Obviously, with the news of Valentine Holmes, he's done. He won't be back in the regular season. Broncos are flying at the moment, so they're $1.58. And the line is 4.5. People were coming for the plus 4.5 about the Cowboys. Mace, can you see the Cowboys winning this game or at least keeping it close? By the way, Reece Robson is expected to play despite suffering head knock in the closing stages of the Titans game. Obviously, Valentine Holmes is out, so the youngster, Zach Labatt, goes back in the centres. He's been pretty nice in a couple of games that he's played. As for the Broncos, pretty much 1-17. Jordan Ricci is listed amongst the reserves. It could be a late call-up. Therefore, the Brendan Piacortas of the world could be missing out, and Jesse Arthurs, he's back on deck after being suspended. So it's a pretty good lineup, man. It's a pretty good lineup.
Just North Queensland. If they had Nanai, if you had, Val Holmes, just a little bit of just those crispiness to the end of sets, and if you're going to have a strike, you got a fair chance of pulling it off. Val Holmes, I don't know what North Queensland are doing fighting that.
Yeah, what was that?
That's a dumb. He could have got 2 weeks or four. Was that it?
No, three or four.
Three or four.
Just take three.
Take three, man. You're never going to get off that shit. Most blatant shoulder to the head I've ever seen. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Saying that, Brisbane, they're on a bit of a tear now. I think, as I said, Penrith have been making a, flex those muscles a bit, and same as Brisbane. They're like, it's only two in this race, I reckon. That's what they'll be thinking.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know. I just think, if you're Brisbane, you're like, you just want to sort of go, I'm going to give it to you real fucking nice, North Queensland.
I'm on the Cowboys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But in saying that, I think Cowboys will put up a fight because of the rivalry and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
I think it's going to be a cracker. I think it's going to be a really close game. I think for all those reasons you're talking about Brisbane, 100% true. They want to – this will be a statement from game for them. But Cowboys need to win this game, and this will be – they'll almost be looking at this is a makeup game for what happened to the Titans last week. Titans, they weren't supposed to lose to the Titans. They're probably not expected to beat the Broncos. So this is where a game where they can go, we're playing with house money and go after them.
So when I think of Nanai and Val Holmes, what do you think? Game breakers, right?
Yeah.
They can score tries.
Yeah.
They can't score tries without those two.
That's
not that
true.
Much, you know what I mean? Peter Hiku's a fucking great defender. He's got nice hands and everything like that. But when you go to Val Holmes, when you go to Nanai, they've got that strike in them. They score tries a lot. He kicks goals everywhere, Val Holmes. He's an integral part of that system,
goal
man.
Kicking. Chatty kicks goals.
Didn't kick goals. They're not really going to fuss him like that. But I just think just the X factor and the fact, they can score tries from anywhere. They can set them up. They make line breaks. They just got that. They're just nice. They're just nice to finish off sets and everything.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they just got that.
I'll stick with Cowboys because I talked you out of the Knights last week. Yeah, you come to the Raiders for me and they ended up winning. So I'm going to stay on just in case.
I hope North Queensland win.
Yeah.
I love the Cowboys. But I just think with the Val, with Nanai done, they're so fair big,
points.
Man.
They're fair points. The Dolphins play the Knights over at Optus Stadium in Perth. I think this is the first of a doubleheader over there in Perth. Yep.
Yeah, it is.
The Rabbitohs and Sharks playing just after. Mace, the Dolphins are $3.30 underdogs, and I think that is fair because they're playing a red-hot Newcastle Knights team who are $1.34 favourites.
Mm.
The line is -9.5. I'm leaning towards Newcastle -9.5 and obviously head-to-head, just like the punters, because I think Newcastle are in really good nick at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. The Dolphins were pretty underwhelming last week. They had everything to play for. They're on 22 points, so if they had won, got us, they're on 24. This game would mean a lot more. Now they're over there, they're fighting for everything again, hoping with the differential and all this sort of shit. We could calculate it best, all
you don't
that sort
want to
of
rely
bullshit.
On hope,
do you? No. Newcastle.
All right, let's all move on. Right. For the teams day, Anthony Milford slots into the six as he was on the bench last week. Connolly Lemelu failed his HIA on Sunday against the Bulldogs, but his name to start in the second row. Ray Stone is listed amongst the reserves. No changes likely for the Knights. Obviously, they're all travelling at the moment with Daniel Saifidi still sidelined. But Cody Nikorima goes to the centres. Ewan Aiken, it looks like he's been dropped.
Mm.
Yeah, he's out.
Wow.
Cody Nikorima goes to the centres. Therefore, it opens up Milf moving to six and Isaiah Katoa comes onto the bench now. Knights were comfortable, I think. I'll be there on that one. Second game of Saturday night over there in Perth. Shout out to Perth too. We know we love Perth here. Optus Stadium. It'll be packed.
Don't take it personal.
It'll be 50,000.
Easy. Bigger than Origin 2 last year.
Way bigger. And way better than that again in New Zealand as well. South versus Cronulla. South $1.25 favourites. Cronulla are $4 underdogs. The line is 12.5. Fuck, that's saying a lot about the Sharks at the minute, Mace. Prop Tom Burgess and second row Michael Cheekham coming to the starting sides with Hamaselli injured and Jacob Host dropping out. Fullback Latrell Mitchell requires 2 tries for 100 of the best.
Fuck, already.
Fuck, I'm going to get on that.
Responsibly, of course.
Ronaldo Mortolo returns on the wing after being a late withdrawal from the Panthers game. Having played centre, wing and 5/8 at times throughout his past 3 seasons, Connor Tracy is named a fullback in place of Will Kennedy, who did his hammy against Penrith last week. Mace.
Big loss, man, Will Kennedy.
He is a big loss.
He's been nice all year. He's been their best player.
I would, you know what I'd do? And I've seen Who come on? I've seen someone talk about it. I think it was Billy. I'd move Nico to fullback and bring Moyser back in.
Yeah.
Rather than
because I think he came out this week, Nico, and said I'll play fullback if
needed.
Did he? Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't see
that. That's where I saw that, yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good move. Give him a bit more freedom, even though he can do what he wants anyway, but I'm just trying to give him a little bit more space, I suppose. Instead of passing the ball all the time, he can be the guy at the back running it, sweeping. Yep. He's got those nice hands. When he gets those 3-on-2s, he always makes the right decision. I think it would have been. Maybe that's still on the cards.
Yeah, it could be.
Have they got Moylan on the
– Moylan's 18th.
Is he travelling?
Yeah, he's 18th man.
So the more noise that sort of makes, Fitz, you might be thinking, going, yeah, maybe. Just to get him involved in different situations on the field.
Well, even if he thought it originally, maybe he just named it this way and it could play out. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Fitzy's not done. He's a good coach, Fitzy.
Yeah.
South. I think Latrell might come out and do.
I'm going to go South 13 plus and I'm going to go.
You, Gus.
And I'll have a little fucking two of the best. Yeah, Gus has got him.
I don't know. Like, because you know the thing is, like, it holds weight.
Yeah.
When Gus says shit, people fucking go, what did he say? Why did he say it? Like, we're sitting here like this going, maybe he's saying it to try and fire. This is where we got to by that.
Yeah.
Trying to fire Latrell up to beat Penrith in the fucking prelim so Penrith don't win. That's where we got.
That's our tinfoil
hat. That's a tinfoil hat. So Latrell, he's not gonna come out and say anything against Gus. Or maybe he will. Who knows? But he will say shut up with his talking.
I reckon he'll put in a – I reckon you're right. I reckon he scores 2 of the best. He gets to 100.
His subliminal hits. That's he'll get you.
Yeah. And he'll say something cheeky.
We'll be like that.
Yeah, he might hit Gus with the say less.
Yeah, maybe. Something like that. You know, these young players have got the platform to do what they want. Their social media is always – they've got a massive following. So you don't have to sit on Channel 9 and do an interview to get some traction.
Sharkies would be filthy that Sharkies, Gus said, man. That, eh?
He's like, why? Fitzy's like, why, Gus? Why you do me like that?
Trying to hang in around the eight and fucking.
They are under the pump, Cronulla. I know there weren't a chance of that's not a big statement. Cronulla, like last week, I didn't expect him to win. They're still going over there thinking we can get South.
Yeah.
I don't think Cronulla go into games fearing anyone.
They've played pretty well against South too in the last couple of years. Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is like this one. This could get them all point. On.
Yep. This could be if they're ever a chance of getting this season going, and
that's why I'm going to go Cronulla.
Oh,
yeah. I trust Fitzy.
Oh,
I want Nico Hines to kill it, man. I just think you just got to give these great players a situation, right? I just want to see him rise to the top. I want to see Nico Hines
trying to fire up.
Yeah, we're trying to sign Latrell. Sorry, just get the Tari Ferrari.
Ferrari out there. I'm on fucking Trail Mitt for 2 of the best. Give AJ a couple too because I got him top try screw then. Parramatta versus St. George Illawarra. Parramatta are favourites, $1.17. It's been a while since they've been that price. Ooh. Against St. George Illawarra.
St. George Illawarra.
St. George Illawarra Dragons. I was saying St. George.
St. George.
St. George. The line is 15.5. Dylan Brown is back after serving his suspension. Therefore, Dejan Arce will go to the bench. Isaac Lumi gets his 3rd start of the season in place of Wonga Blake. Fuck, he's had a tough.
Ooh.
Wonga Blake's had a tough run of late, man. I think he's all but done. He needs to maybe go to the Super League now.
How old is he, man? I remember playing against him in 2014 when I was at Newcastle.
I reckon he'd be about 29, 30.
Yeah, he ain't young anymore. I think he was 18, 19 then.
I'm telling you, he's a good player. But the last couple of years of Parramatta and all the head noise, he needs a break. He'd go to Super. He's a guy.
Kill it.
Super League now and stay over there for another 5 years.
Yeah.
And good money. As for the Dragons, the 4-game ban handed to Jack DeBellin.
That's harsh, man.
Jack Bird.
That was harsh, bro.
That was awful, eh? Jack Bird is recalled to the starting lineup. Therefore, Zane Musgrove goes onto the bench.
He's a big boy, Zane Musgrove.
But yeah,
I don't know what's happening with him. He's got so much potential.
Yeah, yeah.
You see the upside in him. I saw him when I was when the Bulldogs playing. I was like, why is he in reserve grade?
Same. I seen him last week.
He's like 6'5", 115, yeah. 16 kilo.
I like him. I
easy.
Think he's a good player.
Good leg speed. I'm like, well, he needs to be coached properly.
Mm. Are you recruiting?
I don't know, yeah. He's a bit of baggage there, but fuck. What was I say? With St. George, back to DeBellin. Has he got a bad a record or something like that? He's got points. That's the reason, then, eh?
Nah, but even the incident on itself is fucking disgusting.
I can get it if it was blatant as hell and it was a proper hip drop.
I was watching
not
the game.
That
I,
when
I
he just even... lost he lost his fucking feet and he fell on his ankle.
I seen the tackle.
Slime ankle.
It was Omar. Omar was fucked. Mace, CT and JDB would have been in front of me about 30 meters in front of me. I watched the tackle. It went down. Three or four tackles later, there was a penalty, and I had to look on up on the big screen, on the little screen, by the way.
Little big screen.
Little big screen. Little screen at fucking weird.
It's awful.
It's about the size of that fucking
lemon in the background. It's like this. Might as well put this up there.
And iPad. I was watching and I was going, so I seen the tackle and I was like, oh, he must. I thought there might have been a melee after it. Like he might have pushed someone or fucking twisted.
Francis.
I was like. And I was like, nah, nothing happened. And I was like, that's not a hip drop. And they sent him. Yeah. Fuck.
I don't know, 4 weeks, maybe a fine. Fine.
Marsha.
Fine. A fine and a fucking week max.
Yeah.
You can't rule him out. It was fucking done for the year now.
Anyway, Dragons are done for the year too.
Drags are done.
Parramatta, 13 plus. All right. The last game is the Raiders versus the West Tigers at Giro Stadium. A big moment for backup hooker Adrian Trevelyan, who made his lone appearance in an NRL appearance against the Cowboys early last season and returns from an ACL injury. He played the one game. He's come back. Well done, bro. Nick Kotrick gets a starting wing spot for the first time since round 14.
Wow.
Because Jordy Rapps goes to fullback and Seb Chris goes into the centres.
And who's out of the centres? Is anyone injured or Croaks? Oh, right.
They must have
the other one.
They must have dropped Croaks.
Oh, fuck.
Must have. As for the Tigers, Stefano Utoikamanu and Sean Bloor, they're out. The absence, yeah, they are. They're out. So Alex Twell comes in and Justin Matamua. Those are big outs. Oh, fuck. Raiders will do a bit number on them.
Yeah. They'll be pissed off last week. I know Ricky Stewart, the coach, he'd be in. There'll be a fucking very intense week this week.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the session against reserve grade? First grade would have been just told to fucking unleash and it's round 23.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God. You know what I mean? You're just sort of trying to fine tune a few things. He'd be like, fucking go at it.
You know why? Because he wouldn't respect the Knights either.
No.
Yeah.
No, he'd probably worst prep ever. It's probably his fault.
He would think the Knights are soft, right?
Yeah, so he does.
Just knowing him.
Yeah, I know his mentality, mate. I know his mentality.
Way, I could just see, he would have been looking, how we fucking lose these cunts.
And he would have got all those old dudes in there all week and they just would have, reserve grade would have been going at him and he would have been telling the boys who played 200, 300 games to go at it. Sometimes you need a little sharpener like that. And I think the West Tigers are going to feel that wrath.
I agree. Yeah, I think Canberra they don't really smoke anyone though.
Yeah, but they fucking know. You give him the motivation, mate.
You think they're fired up?
Look how much they've got to play for now. Top eight, man. They drop this one. They could end up at equal eighth?
Right. For the part of me thinks the Tigers will keep it close. But
Oh, don't worry. Utoikamanu, how I pronounce it.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the NRLW, Sydney Roosters versus St. George Illawarra Dragons. The Roosters got done last week by the Raiders.
Sorry, can I ask something?
Go ahead.
You know you do all the eight games of fucking NRL, right?
Yeah.
I top out at that, right? It takes you about 3 hours to watch one game.
Yeah.
And you've got another five games with the women. You watch every 80 minutes, right?
When I didn't on the weekend. I just had to
watch that, but just say this weekend, you've got a quiet weekend. You're going to watch every game? You do?
No, not this weekend because I'm in Queenstown.
Oh, fucking just say next week.
But next week,
you know what? When you're sitting, when you're sitting at home, just no, like actually, I was on the weekend. Shut up.
Yeah.
When just say like, most of my weekends are at home these days. Yeah. You watched five games of women and the eight games.
I watched all the games live.
That's good.
That
man.
Don't match with the men's.
Okay.
And then I'll go back and watch the KO minis of the games that I miss.
Okay.
So I watched probably two games live. So on I watched the Broncos Cowboys game. No, Titans game. That was fucking a good game. Yeah. That was before the men on Thursday night. So I watched that.
I just tipped over and it was a field goal.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Yeah. There was the Broncos was supposed to win that game, but the Titans have been good.
Because I told you, I said, why the fuck are they offside at the kickoff?
That was awful.
That was the worst thing ever.
So bad.
Oh my goodness. I would not fucking talk to those people like after the game.
Those are the attention forever. To details that they still have to work on, like little things like that.
That was awful. They lost them the game.
I think one thing that they really need to improve on, like their captain's challenges too, they just need to understand the game a little bit more. Mm. But they're trending there. The Roosters will be one to have a big game. St. George Illawarra, I was at this game watching the St. George Illawarra girls beat Parramatta Eels, who were very impressive. Sydney Roosters, man, this comp's a bit of a tricky one. I didn't get to do the anytime try scorers because the odds went up before we got in here. I think the Roosters will get some vengeance on the Dragons. They're too good of a team. They'll bounce back. This is a really hard one. Cowboys are really impressive against – who did they play? Cronulla. And the Brisbane Broncos have lost two in a row, so they'll be desperate. I'm going to go the Broncos. Cronulla girls, they got beaten by – so they'll want to bounce back. They're playing Gold Coast, who are impressive. So that game's at Cronulla's games are pretty hard to pick. I thought it was going to be easy to pick these games at the start of the year, but –
relying on you, man.
I'm going to go Cronulla in that game. Parramatta versus Newcastle, easy one to Newcastle. Parramatta have been
awful.
Awful. And I like what Noddy's doing at the West Tigers as well.
Just playing flat and fast.
Yeah.
That's how Noddy plays, mate.
Playing flat and fast, shape out the back, flick it out the back every now and again. I'm on the West Tigers. They're traveling. They're going really well. All right, let's get into the Grateful Eight. There it is. Hit the lights, Licky. All right, the first game, Sydney Roosters versus the Manly Seagulls. I've been on him now for the last couple of weeks. We're rolling with him. He's flowing. He keeps scoring for us. I'm on the juice, Tolu-Cola. Gold Coast Titans versus the Warriors. I talked about how I probably would prefer Tomato Martin come finals time, but regular season with a break, he's on fire at the moment as well. Luke Metcalf at $3.50. As for the Penrith Panthers versus the Melbourne Storm, this guy's a big game player. We say it all the time, Mace. Stephen Crichton for the Penrith Panthers. Yeah. North Queensland Cowboys versus Brisbane Broncos. What does he do, Mace? Ducks, weaves, underneath, Tommy Dearden. Dolphins versus Newcastle. I think they're going to run right in this game, Newcastle. Therefore, their fullback, who will be setting a lot of it up, will be also pushing through the middle for a piece of meat in Kalen Ponga. As for South Sydney versus Cronulla, I wish I'd knew that information about Latrell earlier, but I still think he's going to score 1, 2, and then also look after his mate Campbell Graham on the right edge against that very leaky left edge.
So you've been going right a fair bit, huh?
I am.
You'll be going. No, but he'll be going to the right side?
I think so.
Yeah, right.
I think he'll be flying to Lockie's side.
It'd be silly if he doesn't.
Moving on to the Parramatta Eels versus St. George Illawarra Dragons. I think a number of players will score for Parramatta, so you give me the value of $3.10 about Mitchie Moses. Bang, tick, I'll take that. And another big change in Canberra. They're playing the West Tigers. Geordie Raps goes to fullback. Whenever he plays fullback, he's always in the game. Give me Jordan Rapiner at $2.25. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You can find all LPC Bets under the Bets Friends banner on the tab app. Where our LPC multi will be, we just haven't got the traders' odds yet. So it's always a max bet of $25. We'll get the odds out to you. Make sure to look out for it, mate. Oh, and Lukey will be in there with that boxing jam, that UFC jam. Mace, enjoy your weekend.
Yep.
I'll see you when I get back from Queenstown.
I know.
By the way, we've got a special guest jumping on. The Missile, James Magnuson.
Bring your A-game, Missile. Bring it.
Missile, me and him do radio together quite a lot at SEN. He's pumped. We love Missile. I think he'll do great. And he's going to fill in for me on Monday. So, boys, enjoy the weekend, and I'll see you when I get back.
All right.